So I want to do a little bit of,
okay. Green is good.
Okay. A little bit of...
Thank you.
Yeah. A little bit of, about the Parsha Yaakov and Esav. And ties into, so a little bit of Yaakov and Esav, and then a little bit about Avelos. Alright? Some ideas about Avelos. So, the Torah describes, basically, as the Medrash tells us, it was basically the day that Avram Avinu died. Okay, Avram died, and Yitzchak was mourning him. Yitzchak, his son, was mourning him. And Yaakov, his grandson, made soup. As was clear from later in the pasuk, a lentil soup. So he made a lentil soup for his father. And Esav came in from the field, and he was very tired. Okay? Very tired. Chazal say he was tired because on that day, Chazal say he did five major averos on that day. One is he killed, and that's what he's tired from. He killed someone. Okay? He killed Ritzicha, he was tired. They say he raped an Anam Rasa. He denied God, he was Kofar Baker. He was Kofar Tesem Esem. And he disgraced.
Those are two separate?
Or? Yeah, two separate ones. And he disgraced made fun of the Bechorah. Okay? Made fun of he's the Bechorah, refers, you know, the rights of the Bechorah. Right? Even if this is a Bechorah.
So, Avodah Zarah wasn't one of
them? No, I don't think so, not on that list. So basically, he came in from the field, he's very tired. And Esau said to Yaakov, he says, please pour some of this red stuff down my throat. Right? Halitani now, which means like, I'll open my mouth and you pour it into my throat.
Here.
You know, the basket? Yeah, so pour it into my throat. This red stuff. I don't want that because I'm hungry, I'm tired. And therefore they call him Edom. That's why he's called Red. Edom is from Red. Red soup. So Yaakov said, okay, but sell me your Bechor. The right to Bechorah. So Esav said, I'm going to die anyways. As long as I live Bechorah, what do I need a Bechorah for? So Yaakov said, okay, swear to me. So he swore, and he sold it to him. And then sure enough, Yaakov gave him the stuff, and he ate it, and he drank it, and he hated it, and he despised it. Despised, degraded the Bechor. Okay? Okay, that's what happened. So what's the deal here? So, Chazal say that it was basically lentil soup. Why is it lentil soup? It says because he was making the lentil soup to like a Suda Savra for his father who was mourning. So Savra is basically the meal when a person begins Shiva, when they come back from the cemetery and they begin Shiva. So you make a meal, the friends or whatever, make a meal for the morning. And they provide him food. And that first meal, you're not supposed to eat from your own food, but you're supposed to be fed by other people. And the minhag is to have lentils or eggs. Okay, and he says, so he was giving him lentils basically for the Suda. He says, why lentils? So it says, the Gemara says, there's two reasons. One is because lentils are round and like a wheel. And they bring to mind like a wheel, just like they're around. Avelos is a wheel which goes around the world. The wheel. It says, a galgal, Avelos galgal achozer ba'olam. It's a wheel that goes around the world. So that's why you have round lentils. The other pshat is the reason why I have lentils is because lentils don't have a mouth.
Lentils what?
Don't have a mouth. Which means like, you know, beans have like a little notch which looks like a little bit like a mouth.
Oh yeah.
So you said lentils are like smooth, they don't have that. So too, a mourner doesn't have a mouth because he's not supposed to be involved in like idle chatter, shayla shalom, that kind of thing. Okay. So
you take sugar, right? You can't find
the honey. Yeah, sugar's fine, yeah, for sure. So the Gemara says, what's the difference whether it's because of round or because of the mouth? Right, what's the difference? What's the nafkamina? So it says, I'll tell you what the nafkamina is. Could you use eggs? Could you use eggs? Because if you say it's because it's round, eggs aren't round. They're oval. The Rashbam says, Rabbi Gershon, They're not round kol kach. They're not that round. They're a little round, but no, not round enough. But if you say the reason is because of the smooth, they're smooth. Use them. All right.
Lentils are fully round?
I guess so. I guess they're all. I'm not sure, but it seems...
Maybe in those days.
Oh, maybe in those days, yeah. What? Pretty round, right? Yeah, pretty round. Not like an oval. I mean, eggs are an oval. Come on.
Like a cylinder.
Yeah, right, a cylinder. So, pretty interesting, right? So, first of all, it seems like it's only like a machlokas, almost, right? Like, why can't they both be good? What do you have to have? Maybe an eye, what's the difference? I mean, they're two different ideas. Isn't that... I mean, this isn't a halacha, it's a minhag. So a minhag is just to bring to mind ideas. Those are both ideas. Those are both ideas. Right? And so it's not perfectly round. Big deal. It's kind of round. Right? Most people think that's why you have eggs, because they're round, right?
Yep.
But it seems like Gemara, that's not the case. So Rashi and Gershon Shok, and the Shach brings down, when he brings down this minhag, he says eggs is because they don't have mouth. So Rashi on the Chomesh, which is not clear if this is a real Rashi. It's like only in some versions of Rashi, but he says that because the eggs are round. Yeah, but it seems to be against the Gemara.
Why is he talking about eggs?
Well, that's why it may not be a real Rashi. Uh-huh. Well, he says, Be'od, and this is in brackets, in some versions of Rashi, Ma adoshim ein lo peh, kach avel ein lo peh, shasso lo daber, lefika chaminag lahavros avel betchilas machalo beitzim. Shem agulim ein lo peh. Kach avel ein lo peh. But it's like clear in the Gemara that eggs don't have both of them. So it seems to be a problem. And it just seems like it's only in certain Rashis. And I'm no expert in Rashi, but Zimmer seems to be convinced that this is totally out of character of Rashi. It's not his style to just all of a sudden start talking about halacha and quoting the Gemara. And it's just like not what Rashi does. Rashi's like sparse. And it's only in some versions of it. Yeah. So, it seems to be wrong against the Gemara, and it's against the Rashi and that other Gemara. So, I'm gonna, whatever. But the point is, it seems plain, the plain idea seems to be that eggs don't have that. Eggs are not round. So, what's the whole issue here, you know? What's the whole issue? Why are, what's the sense of this now?
Sorry, that went too high.
Oh, it's okay. I'm really thirsty. Need like 10 sugars for all this. Yeah, no, it's okay. You can get like a spoon or a knife or something, Chris. Yeah. Thanks.
What's the first thing? So
first thing is that it's round, just like Velas is a circle. Gal choser olam. You want a knife for you?
Yeah. What does that mean?
I don't know. You tell me. That's another question. What does that mean?
Circle of life.
Right.
Yeah. Circle of death. They don't tell you that circle of life also has death on it. One part of the circle.
That's right.
What makes that kind of song? Circle of death.
Point
is just as much the start as any other. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, let's start with that. What's the idea? Why exactly are you trying to give him round things to show him about the circle that avails as a circle which goes around? What's the point of that? It's a little strange, right?
Well, that's what he's doing right now. He's thinking about death. He's thinking about life. He's thinking about death. So
why are you telling him that it's a circle?
Because that's what it is.
It also involves body decomposing, but you're not going to give him like
right, but you know, this is what he's doing. He's thinking about death, and you know, life is temporary.
So what's the point? Are you rubbing it in?
I guess. I mean, in a way. In a mean way.
The geometry point, isn't it?
The geometry point, okay. You want to teach
I mean, like, it's a line versus a circle. Like, I mean, I think the point Like, you know, the circle basically is continuous. There's no end point. I think the idea being that, you know, an Avil's caught up in his own particular situation, and the idea is that, you know, it's you know, life is, or, you know, basically it's the, to go from the specific to the general, that, like, you know, it's not just, I don't know, like one life or, you know, one person, but it's the entire sort of world and, you know, there's sort of, I don't know, like when you mentioned, you know, circle of life, circle of death, yeah, like it's all sort of one existence sort of that kind of comes and goes. And we're, you know, everybody who's, we're all, you know, single existences.
Okay. So what's the point? What's the point of doing this?
The point is to put the Avilas in perspective.
Okay. Okay. It's interesting, because it says that Avilas is a galgal hachodeh ba'olam. Avilas is a wheel which goes around the world. Right?
Avilas is the person?
Avilas is the morning. Morning is a wheel which goes around the world. Rolls from person to person. Sounds like that's what it means, yeah? You know? Not that life is the wheel.
Everyone's an Avil at some point.
Yeah, everyone's an Avil at some point. Unless you die really young. Right? That's like, I forgot, maybe my father says it sometimes, but I don't know if you heard it from someone, but like when you say to people, only simchas, like you should only have simchas, it means like you should die before all your relatives, you know? Because it's the only way you can only have simchas, you know? Yeah. But I'm saying it's not saying only simchas. It's a guy also of Olam, and everyone dies. Everyone becomes, either dies or has becomes an Avil.
You just move the shells over here.
That's my plan.
Cover for you.
Going right into Ed's plate. Might hear my wife come up.
Judy. Yeah.
What was that?
Comment on just like here.
Yeah. What were you just saying?
You're saying, or somebody saying it, or Matt is that everybody's like, well, at some point.
Right. Yeah.
Can I take another stab at it?
Yeah.
Maybe the point is that a person also tends to get steeped in the Avilas. They sort of think it's perpetual.
Okay.
And it's hard to sort of, you know, get out of it. And the point maybe of the Adashim is that, you know, it's not like it's a funk that a person can get into, but it's not permanent. It's something that goes, you know, it's not personal. Not something that, you know, like it just goes from person to person, and it's inevitable.
Right.
That's
right. Right, I hear you. Okay.
Well, what's the question on the
question is that why are you having, you're giving him a round food to show him that morning is like a circle that goes around the world. So the question is, what's that idea? What's the point of that? Sounds a little funny.
And where do you get the idea that everybody's going to go?
Well, that's what thing it means, is that it says the circle goes around the world, means everyone's going to be an Avil someday. You know? But the question is, what's the import of that? Who cares? Like, why are you telling him that? You know? So, I think you guys are saying good. That there's that one aspect of mourning is the idea of Yichlal Nechama, which is like consolation. Or, in another way to look at it, is healing. And the namely, see, death of a loved one is a very intense, painful experience. And a person, there's different ways a person could react to it. Okay? I think there's like two opposite extremes, extreme reactions. And I think the Torah really tries to direct us towards the middle. I mean, the two extremes are, on one extreme, a person could be totally, totally broken by a person's death of a loved one, to the point where they really destroys their life. And they can't function anymore. They become depressed, something of that sort. Right? On the other hand, there's an opposite extreme where a person doesn't really mourn. And they just like run away from the tragedy, from the loss. They like move on very quickly and just like bounce away, you know, just as if nothing happened, you know? And I think the Torah holds is that neither of those are appropriate. Torah, obviously, it's not appropriate for a person's life to be ruined. A person has to be able to move on from a loss and to be able to once again enjoy life and once again redirect their energies outward towards other people. Not to forget about the maze, but at the same time to be able to live, to go on living. But at the same time, the Torah does hold there is a reality of a loss and of pain and of mourning, and a person has still, it's appropriate to not for a person to ignore and deny those emotions, but a person should suffer, should be in pain, should be willing to go through the feelings and the emotions and face them and deal with them and allow them to run their natural course. And not to just ignore them and pretend like they don't exist. And that's the way a person heals. Through properly mourning, you could cathect the energy and you could redirect it and you could basically get over it. But otherwise, it's like always deep down, it's like this anxiety or this, all this energy, which is never fully, so to speak, released or dealt with. It's not healthy. So the Torah, through its system of mourning, was very keenly aware of the human psychology, and it basically gave a person a method of healing, which is that it slowly guides him through the experience, the emotional experience. It gives him like a framework through which to experience the love of the morning.
A year?
Well, the first of all, it starts with the first 3 days of mourning, which was also for crying. And then the rest of Shiva, three to seven, is for talking about the mace, hesped, eulogizing, which means like to discuss the mace, discuss the dead burden, you know. And then, after that, you have 30 days where you will go back to life, go back to work, go back to whatever, but you're still not involved in simcha.
Shloshim,
you don't have weddings, you're not involved in like grooming, personal grooming and haircuts and shaving, that kind of thing. And you slowly work your way back towards normalcy. And then for a parent, you have the full year where you're not really involved in simchas of weddings, things like that. So what the Torah does, I think what that allows a person to slowly acclimate back to regular life. Not all in one shot. It recognizes the intense pain at first, and it allows him, it gives him a vehicle of dealing with that. And then slowly at each step of the way, it kind of provides like a framework, which is a healthy way for a person to experience the pain and to move past the pain, you know? And the Rambam says a person shouldn't mourn more than the Chacham say. So the person gets locked up in pain, it says he's like a fool. Because the person, that's the way of the world. The person has to be able to accept the reality of the situation. You can't just get stuck in the past. You have to be able to adjust. Of course, not immediately, but the Torah sets up for us guidelines. Now,
except when a person doesn't have Shiva, is there any, I don't want you to sidetrack on that, but is there any like...
You mean like a Tzionta or something?
Yeah, like if that's an important stage, it seems like the person gets kind of gypped out of necessary element of
good question. Judgment. Good question. I'm not sure. I mean, on the one hand, like you have
Shalom bias.
You have a choice. Yeah. That's a good question. I don't get sidetracked. Well, I don't know. I'm not sure the answer. On the one hand, look, you don't have a choice because you have Yontif, and Yontif takes precedence. So he does. In a certain sense, he does. But I don't know. I want to think about it. It's a good question. Yeah. Yeah, okay. So, now the thing is like this. Part of the healing, I think another part of the healing, because I'll say, actually, I mean, the Rambam says, that Moshe Rabbeinu is set up for Kal Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu Tikkun, funny Lashon, Moshe Rabbeinu Tikkun Lahem Yisrael. Set up 7 days of mourning and 7 days of Simcha. Shavu Brachos and Shema. Which I think means is that it's really for Yisrael. Or one part of Shiva is that it's like, it serves a person well. That in his intense emotional experiences, highs and lows, he has friends who are there, willing, you know, there with him, experiencing his emotions with him, legitimizing his emotions, being there with him, feeling with him, celebrating with him, mourning with him. And that's part of the idea of Nechamam, Nechamam Elam, of a Suda Zavra, of making, you know, of coming, providing with food, taking care of the Avel, recognizing that he's in a moment of need. As part of Shiva, part of Avelos, part of Shiva, of people coming to the house, is to help a person deal with the loss. Right? Help a person deal with the loss. Now, and one idea is, I think, and this is what you guys are saying, is that part of what a person is like thrown by a loss, and they feel like, look what happened to me. Like it's like a terrible personal loss. And I think it's consoling to a person when they know that other people also experience the same thing and will experience the same thing. And this is it's part of a circle which circles the entire world. Everyone has this experience. Everyone who's passed the experience. It's just part of the world. And it's not just this unique thing that you are the one victim of whatever. It's like, so to speak, they say misery loves company. So it's not company exactly, but it means when you give him the food brings to mind the concept which helps him heal, which is the fact that this is part, one instance of a universal phenomenon in the world. And you will move past it, everyone does. This is the way of life. Right? So that could be the idea of why you give him, you know, why when you're consoling him and you're giving him food and bringing him to his house and consoling him, you don't just console him by giving him some random food item, cholent or something. You'd rather use an item which points to this idea, points to a concept of consolation. Okay, you with me?
So what's does the person really like focus on the fact that the lentil was around, you know what I mean?
Oh, so it seems like the idea of a minhag is to bring to mind the concept. I mean, he doesn't have to, but the idea is in theory, he should. He should think about it. That's the message of it, is that we don't just use any random food, but we use the food which brings to mind an idea. If a person doesn't, he doesn't. But I think that's the idea of minhagim in general. I mean, like, it's not a technical halacha, but it's a custom that we do certain things a certain way in order to bring us a certain idea. Like you wear a yarmulke as a minhag. Remind us of that God is involved. Does the person think about it? I mean, hopefully a little bit. Usually not. But in theory, that's the ideal, is that we should live our life based on ideas. So we do certain actions which bring to mind ideas. But if a person just eats lentils and just says, I love lentils, and doesn't think about anything, it's of little value. Yeah.
Bring a yarmulke
just a minute. Yeah, so I swear I'm not doing. I think it's halacha, like when you make a bracha or things like that, but just to wear it ordinarily. This is like, Gemara talks about someone who used to do it, like it was a high level. But the math, everyone accepted it at some point in history. You know, as a minhag. That's why if for work, you lose money or something like that, then you don't have to. Because the minhag of halacha, you can't just say, I need to for my job. So long as I love, you can't work on Shabbos if you need to. You know, but a minhag, because you don't have to keep a minhag if it's going to cause you lots of money.
What about a mezuzah? A mezuzah is...
It's a halacha. It's a mitzvah.
Okay, I thought you were excused from that. If at work, it's like...
Oh, I don't know. It could be that's because of other factors. Like, okay. You know, live there. I don't know. Yeah. Okay. So that's one idea? Circle? Oh, wait. So what's the idea that it's a circle as opposed to eggs or an oval? Why are ovals not good? I mean, they're kind of round.
Doesn't roll as well.
Mm-hmm. Depends how you do it, right?
It seems like there's like a top and bottom on an oval.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so maybe that's part of the idea. The Avelis is a circle. A circle is the one shape which is perfectly symmetric. Right, there's no side, no part of a circle is any different than any other part of the circle. Right, or a sphere. It's totally, that's what, like the Greek, you know, the Aristotle, and they had this whole science around the spheres, and the circle was like the perfect shape. There's a symmetry of a circle, which, like, for instance, a square, there's the corners and there's the middle, or an oval, there's the pointy part and the flat part. So maybe part of the idea is that Avelis is equal. Everyone, it's a great equalizer. You know, death is the same to everybody. And the idea of a circle brings that idea in mind. An oval, you say, oh yeah, I'm the sharp part of the oval, but you're the set, you know, you have it not so bad and I have it this bad. And it could be the concept is that it's so vive, means in an equal way to everybody. You know, and a circle represents that idea, not an oval. Yeah, you with me? Maybe. Okay. So now what about this idea of not having a mouth? What's that idea? We're trying to give him a... Antos doesn't have a mouth, and so too an owl doesn't have a mouth, because you're not supposed to talk, she'll show him. What's that whole...
What do you mean you're not supposed to talk?
You're not supposed to be involved in, like, normal social interactions, like Shayla Shalom, and how's it going, greetings, that kind of stuff.
Sounds like a totally different age. So I bring the idea of how he's supposed to conduct himself as an oval.
Okay. Okay, good.
It's not so comforting, man.
Not so comforting, right. What's the point of that?
Besides, Jeremy, I have to bring something in.
Right.
I don't know, a person might, it's not easy doing that. The person wants to escape into the inane.
Right.
Person has to what?
Wants to escape into the inane, just having, you know, mindless conversation sometimes when they're grieving. Not think about things. When,
right.
So you need the reminder of how you're supposed to conduct yourself.
Okay. Okay, I hear you. Okay, that's what the other side says. It's like it doesn't have a mouth. Just like a mourner's not supposed to be involved in, you know, idle chat conversations. So what's that idea? Thanks. That's nice. Okay, make sure you put a lot there for Ed.
Thanks. You got a really good penis. Where did you get these from? I've never had a penis like this before.
That's because these are sacks.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
They have your name written all over them.
Yeah, they certainly do. That was good.
No, Judy, she could, what are you supposed to do? You can't help it. She's hiding that from you. Yeah. Okay. So reminding him is hard to do, so you're saying remind him that he's not supposed to be involved in that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Why aren't you supposed to be involved in that stuff? Of talking, like joking, friendly chatter, how's it going, what's doing? Because that's what Alaha, a mourner, isn't supposed to be involved in, like, those conversations, how you doing, whatever, catching up, shooting the breeze, he's supposed to be involved in...
Because he's supposed to be involved in the mourning.
Okay. Yes. Okay, why?
Because it's not more than it.
What?
It's a diversion. I told you to.
Okay, good. What is the idea of involving in the morning? What's that? What is that?
Being depressed, I guess.
What?
Facing what happened. Dealing with what happened.
Okay.
Talking nonsense is not dealing with that.
Well, okay. Actually, yeah, going back to what you were saying, that Torah recognized the... psychology of mourning and wanted to write a framework. So, like Ed's saying, you're not supposed to escape it and not think about the loss, because then you're not going to be taking advantage of that stage.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You're going to be escaping it.
Okay.
So you're really supposed to focus on the on the mace.
Okay, I hear you. So maybe on a more primary level, the idea of not involving yourself in these types of things is a din of kavod hames, which is part of when a person dies. So it's important. There's a person is special, a person is unique. It's not just like another creature in the world, but a person has the ability to have a samalakem and has some sort of relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we recognize the significance of a person. When a person dies, the world should stop for a little bit. Is that he should be noticed. It shouldn't just be, like, he died, okay, let's all move on. Then nothing happened.
Moment of silence.
What's that?
Moment of silence.
Yeah, like the idea of moment of silence. Right, a person died here. So this is something significant. And the idea of, one of the ideas of mourning is not just for me to heal, but is an expression of the fact that a person has died here, and we should stop our ordinary grooming and our ordinary simcha, and our ordinary idle chatter of Sheila Shalom, but take a moment to pause and reflect upon the life of the person, and talk about the mace, and pay respect to the person who died. And that's based upon the concept that Adam is significant. And that's part of the kiyum of mourning. It's kavod hames. You with me? So, as a raya, I just want to bring as a raya that they approve that these are two different aspects of mourning. One is the idea of consolation, nechama of the living, and the other one is a respect to the dead.
It's funny because, in essence, what we're saying, on the one hand, we're saying death is universal, not unique, but the life is unique. Each life is unique.
Right. That's true. Well, that's fine now.
Yeah, no, it's not a contradiction. I'm just saying it's interesting. You're getting both.
Right. That's true. Each person is special, and there's a significance of a person. Right. And it's an event when a person dies.
But the fact of death and mourning,
right,
that's something universal.
Right. That's true. There are two different levels, right? One's like on the psychological level, it gives them consolation. The other is a philosophical statement about a person, right? Yeah, it's interesting. Okay, so there's a halacha that if the person dies and he doesn't have any relatives, right? So what do you do? Who's the tshuva for him? So the halacha is, I don't know if people do this nowadays, but you basically take 10 people from the community, and they so to speak, do a mock shiva. They sit in his house, and they talk about him and stuff like that. Yep.
Wow.
It's the halacha in the Rambam Perek. It's a funny halacha, right?
What happens? The guy has no relatives.
No relatives.
So no one's sitting shiva for him. So 10 people pretend like they're...
Yeah. So it's like this. Meis she'en lo, this is Yud Gimel Dalet. In Avelis. Meis she'en lo ve'en l'snachim. Bo'im asar b'nei adam k'sherim. He'd take 10 kosher people. V'yoshim im komo kol shivas me Avelis. And they sit in his house for all 7 days. V'shar ha'am is gavtsim alayim. And the rest of the nation gathers around. If you don't have 10 people fixed every day, you take 10 people or whatever, random people, let them sit there. Right? So you see, even though nobody, who's healing?
So that's the second, that's yeah, the second thing.
Exactly.
That's the respect for
right,
the dead only.
Exactly. No one's healing. There's no relatives. They're random people. But that's an idea, is that normally the respect for the dead is the relatives. They're the ones who do it. But if they don't have anyone, so then you have to, the community has a responsibility. Kal Yisrael has a responsibility to pay their respects, to show that a person died here. It's not just a non-event. Nobody was his relative, it doesn't matter. He's still a human being, he's still a son of him, still part of the, you know, part of Kal Yisrael. We have to show
but then there's no lentils or any of that, because that's only for the mourners.
Hmm. Yeah, I guess so. Good question.
And those guys, the 10 community members, they can shave, they can, yeah.
So what are they doing?
I guess they're sitting and talking about the mace.
Can they get up and go to work?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it's better if you have 10 people who actually don't, because presumably that shows the fact that it's a significant thing. I mean, it could be while they're doing it, they shouldn't be shaving on the thing, because the idea is they're thinking about the death and they're thinking about the significance of the loss. So they may not be personally mourning, but in a certain sense, they're acting like mourners.
I wonder if they sat in the, you know,
below. That's a good question.
The ones they have now with the Ottomans and the Sajer.
But they have to have known him, correct?
I don't know, it says the Sorb Nalung Sherim. I don't know. It's not clear. arguably they should, but I don't know. Now, the other halacha, you have another halacha, which is on the opposite, which isolates the other aspect, which is, let's say a person commits suicide. So, and there are certain conditions. I think it's like they say, it's someone who, like, beshita, like, has a philosophical position that life isn't worth it, and he kills himself.
Like, he's not depressed?
Yeah, I don't think, like, they say, I've heard Rebbe say this, is like, nowadays, we say most people, if they do it, it's because they have, like, severe pain and suffering, and that's not, that doesn't come under salacha. But it's someone who's doing it, I don't know, who's just doing it, like, as a philosophical position. I don't know. I don't know exactly, but this is the halacha, that if someone does commit suicide, so im is asking michal davar, elam is avmalem, you don't, like, take care of him, and you don't mourn for him, v'lo maspid him also, you don't give him a eulogy. Aval omdim alav b'shura, you still stand, the shura, the two rows they make after they bury the mace, and the avelim walk through, and you say, hamakom, you know? And v'omdim alav b'rchas avelim, you say bracha to the avelim, whatever that is exactly, v'chol davar shu kavad l'chayim. Anything which is respect for the living, you do. Mm-hmm. Right? So you see, in that case, it seems that you don't have kavod hames, because the hames died under the circumstance of an avera. So you don't pay him respect. You don't want to support such a death. But at the same time, the living still are involved. There still is an idea of healing and consolation for the living. And insofar as they're concerned, so you still have whatever halachos are there for the living, so you still have. So you see that isolates the other aspect of mourning. So you see there are like two distinct aspects of mourning, which is the living and the halachos which are there to console the living and to help bring them healing, and then the halachos which is covered for the mace. So I'm saying that it would seem like these two different menhagim are talking to both of these different aspects. Mm-hmm. You know? Now my question is, so why is it machlokas? I mean, just do both? But it seems like the Gemara is questioning, maybe it's not really right to do eggs. Right? At least the egg one. Saying as the difference is, lentils are fine. But it says maybe you shouldn't use eggs, because if your reason is because of this, because of the round idea, then eggs aren't really round. You shouldn't use eggs. You should just use something which is round. But if it's because of the mouth, then you could use eggs also. But I mean, look, they're both good ideas. Like, why does the Gemara make me, like, almost as a question here?
The question would seem to be the Sudas Havra, to which aspect of Avelis is it addressed?
Okay.
Is it for the benefit of the living, the mourners?
Okay.
In which case you would, I guess, say the round aspect is primary.
Okay.
Or is it from the perspective, the benefit of the kavod hames?
Okay.
In which case the mouth.
Okay. How is
idea
that?
Idea is the primary because.
Okay. Okay.
I guess, you know, what's the address of Sudas Havra in terms of the process?
Right into it, I mean. But it would seem to me, I mean. I don't know, maybe this is the bias. But it would seem like it's for the living. I mean, that's the idea, is like you're basically, you know, providing him food, he first comes in, begins his morning. So it's true, like there is an idea of covenant mace, but it seems, I think, it sounds funny to say. It seems plain shot is that it's for the living.
I don't see why you can't say it's for both.
Right, so then that's what's my focus right. Then.
Which was your question.
Right, exactly. Just to say like it's this or that, it seems if anything, just the product to say is not for the living or it's
and
not
what's
a
the idea that it can't be your food?
I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe it's that they're taking care of him. That he's like kind of unable to take care of himself or something. I don't know. It's a good question. It is brought down though.
Right. Because you could take care of him, that someone else is going to serve you and do it. But it's your food, but the it goes beyond that.
Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah. I mean, you could go that way. Yeah. Anyone else?
What's the
question? Is what would be the argument? It seems like it's an argument whether eggs are appropriate or not. Do you say that you should only use something which doesn't, which is round? Because the idea of it, you know, lentils, so death is like mourning goes around the world. What do you say? No, there's the idea, with the other idea, which is that you should be, so the mouth, no mouth is the idea which you should reflect, and therefore you should have it. Eggs are also good. So it seems like it's an argument whether eggs are good or eggs aren't good.
But lentils covers both.
Yes, lentils covers both. But the question is the egg idea a good idea? Is the mouth idea a good idea? What I'm saying is, why not? Sounds like a good idea. Like, what's the machlok? It seems like the word is presenting like it's machlok.
What's the issue with the mouth? What's the reason that
it's supposed to show that your side should be silenced. You should stop. You should be involved in thinking about the death, the dead, not involved in your own idle chatter. So you silence when you know, there's a silence on your inner veils. You don't greet people. Well, you're not interested in greeting, that kind of thing.
I just wanted to just by analogy, on the Seder plate, when you use the egg, is that, does that symbolize continuity?
I don't know. I don't think so. Okay. No. Okay. Not sure. Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry, so where does the issue fit in that we said before that an egg is not symmetrical?
That saying is because you're trying to console him by saying that the earth goes around, you know, death goes around equally to everybody. So if you use something which isn't really round, then you don't reflect that idea that it's equal to everybody. Because, I got the sharp part of the oval, you got the other part. It's like, so you want to show the idea of consolation, you want to have something which is round, not something which isn't round. But now we're just asking, why would you not go for this mouth idea? What's the argument about whether that's a good idea or not? So maybe the thing is like this, is that, do you say, like, and maybe this is something Matt, you mentioned earlier, is that the idea is primarily of this meal is consolation. He's beginning his mourning, he's coming home from the burial, from the cemetery, whatever, and you're basically starting him off on his mourning, so you want the simple shot of what you want to do, is you give him an idea of consolation, you give him the round thing, show him that we're all with you here, this is something which comes to everybody, right? But the other idea is almost, in a certain sense, like Musar. It's like you're saying is, hey, by the way, I just want to tell you, don't start talking about Allah, don't start talking to your friends. Like, imagine you're in a base apple and you'd say to a guy starts talking to his friend about stocks. And you go, no, right? I mean, that would be insensitive and inappropriate to do to the Avel. Although it might be the Halacha, but it kind of undermines the idea that you're trying to help him out. So maybe this is, in a certain sense, you're doing that. Of course, not so explicitly, in such a rude way. But you're basically giving him a message about how he should be involved in mourning. Good cover a mace, don't talk about it, you know. Now, maybe the question is that appropriate? And one side will say, that's not appropriate now. It's not an appropriate message when you enter the Beis Ava. The other side will say that, and this is, I think, someone said this, but the ultimate consolation comes about through the fact that he does mourn properly. This is where you were going originally. Is that in a certain sense, it's not just Kavod HaMeis, but that is in service of his consolation, because insofar as he does properly mourn, then he'll truly be consoled through the Torah system of Avelos. So on a deeper, longer term level, that is also in service of consolation. You're trying to instruct him how to be involved in mourning and thereby how to reach the consolation. But on the, like, this manifest content is not one of consolation, but one of, you know, telling him how to mourn. And that's not really appropriate to, you know, to use in the moment where you're trying to console him. It's a question like how surface or how deep is the consolation go? And is it appropriate to use that type of an idea, which is not explicitly consolation, but on a deeper level brings about consolation? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. So do you think there might be some nakama also in the fact that there's kavod hameis going on, you know?
Like, yeah, like, I know. I think of that.
Like, one expression is like, you know, like, just like died in the field like a dog. Like,
right.
It's like an instantaneous passing.
Like,
no one taking notice is like,
I know.
Could be painful if you're the relative, I feel like.
I know. So saying that we shouldn't be involved in talking,
right,
is like consolation? Right. I know, but it's but it's more like to him that he shouldn't.
His life was worth something.
I understand. I know. I know. It just doesn't seem like that. That's like the plain idea there. I know you could say
that. I don't
know
if that idea will come through. But.
You're right. I know. It's like, I know it's in there. Yeah. I know. You could try to develop that. It just it doesn't seem to me like to be like paramount. Yeah, it's kind of playing with those different ways of going. This is the way I came out with Holy Beth, you know. Yeah.
If you like on a Shiva call, engage the Avel, so he's called the Avel, right? Uh-huh. In like a discussion about, you know, sports or anything like that, are you actually causing him to commit an Avera?
Yeah, I think so. And yourself are also doing Avera.
Wow.
I think so. I mean, that's not really. I mean, it's uncomfortable because it's like awkward, and we like to be able to like have chatter, and we feel like kind of uncomfortable. And but I mean, that's the idea of a morning.
Is it for me? I mean, is it rise to the level of Avera, or is it just
know.
It's not, you know, it's not more than properly?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Yeah, maybe it's not. I don't know. It's certainly not morning properly.
You know, did you like when you recently sat? Did you find Shiva like this incredibly consoling experience, or did you find at a certain point where it was almost exhausting and taxing on you to probably have to repeat a lot of the same things about your mother to so many people over and over again? And did you find it like, because people do tell me they find it to be like, it is consoling and compassionate and all that, but then at a certain point, it's you almost can't wait for it to be over because it's.
Yeah. I know people say that. I don't know. I don't think I experienced that so much. And sometimes people who are just that I didn't really care to see, you know, like random family. I don't know, people that didn't know.
Hey,
Judy
Plumley, you should go. Don't
But like, I don't know, people who I care. I don't know. I mean, there's a certain amount of tiring. It's just like it's tiring to do anything for all day that. You know what I mean?
It's a tiring experience, but I, you know.
But tiring is not.
The repeating, I thought would be, but it was not.
You didn't feel that either, right? Yeah, I don't know if people feel it. Could be the tiring isn't fair because it's just tiring. You're just sitting and talking all day long. You know? You sit and talk to anyone about anything all day long, you're going to get tired. It's just tiring. So, like, that's kind of. But I don't know. I didn't feel that way. But a lot of different people came, and I don't know.
Truthfully, I thought I would feel that way, but I didn't.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure people do, though. You know, I assume it is something people say, so presumably people do feel that way. But that's the idea. That is the idea. It's hard, though. I mean, it is hard to not get distracted and start talking about other things. And you see people who you haven't seen in forever, and it's like, you know, it's taking time to catch up. But that's not the idea. It's not meant to be like a big social gathering and, you know, meet everybody else. And not only that, I think even in the base level, even other people aren't supposed to socialize with others. Like, let's say you're paying a Shiva call by someone and you see someone else. You're not supposed to be saying greeting him either. It's like the whole house is not supposed to be. It's supposed to be the tone of the house. It's supposed to be one of the, you know.
But you don't see that a lot. And sometimes you see it. Sometimes it's like a comedy story.
Yeah, for sure. Sometimes it gets out of hand and totally, you know, for sure. But it's hard. It's like we're very, somehow it's like, it's very awkward to not know the right thing to say. And like, in order to like break the ice, people will just say anything, you know? Well, yeah.
Did you see that? There's a YouTube out of, did you see it?
The stuff people say at Shiva?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's funny?
It's an old one.
Really?
Yeah, I just saw it recently.
Like from people.
Yeah.
Right. Basically, it's a problem. The camera's from the perspective of someone sitting low.
Yeah.
And looking up and some of the things. The truth is, some of it sounds like so outlandish, and some of it that sounds outlandish I've actually heard.
Yeah.
You know, in reality.
Yeah, someone told me people say like, people like, you know, just listen, you'll hear all kinds of crazy things. I didn't really experience that. But I mean, people say, like, you know, at least at the end of the day, like, discuss with their family members who gets the prize for saying the stupidest thing. You know? Yeah, I don't know. I don't think I had.
I think one of them was like, you know, it's really, really. I'm so sorry to hear that. So are you dating? We consider dating or something like that. Like,
Yeah.
That's funny. The other one is things that Orthodox Jewish men love to say, and it's one thing after another. Like, boy, that yeshiva tuition is reasonably priced. You know? You know? That's what I just got also.
Yeah. Okay, so now like this. So maybe now another facet of Avelos, which is maybe deeper than both of these things and runs beneath the surface of them both, is something the Rama mentions, is that, and this is very interesting, important to know about, it says, any person who doesn't mourn, like the Chacham say, it's a command, is like an achzar, like cruel. Cruel. And the thing the Rav said, achzar means, he's like achzar. He's like but a stranger. It's like he dissociates himself from the mace and he doesn't properly identify and mourn. Fine. Ella, this is in Yud Gimel Yud Beis. Ella, what should he do? What should a mourner do? Yifached, he should worry, be frightened. V'yidag and worry, v'yipashpesh b'maisav, and search into his actions, v'yachzer v'tshuva, and to do tshuva. V'echem v'yechabur shameis, if one of a group of friends or family dies, tid'ag kalachabur kula, the whole group should be worried. What does it mean worried? Kol shlosh yom rishonim yiras atzmo kilu cherev v'nachas alak seifo. For 3 days he should consider as if there's a sword on his shoulder. Mishlosh v'ad shiva, from 3 to 7, Menachas b'keren zavis, it's placed in the corner. Mikan ve'elach, the rest of the avelos, overas connected to a shuk, it's like it's passing by him in the street, marketplace. Kol zeh, what's the point of all these funny thoughts? L'hachin atzmo lachzar, to prepare himself to do tshuva. V'yeyer mishinaso, and to wake up from his slumber. Ar yomer kiso som v'lochalu, the Pasuk says, God says, I hit them and they didn't wake up. A person should be aroused and moved. So what's this idea? It's thinking of a sword coming at you. And tshuva, how does tshuva fit in? I mean, it's supposed to be mourning. Why are you doing tshuva? Tshuva is nice for Yom Kippur, but why are you doing tshuva now? And why are you worried about a sword coming to get you? Is there some sort of a probability of swords getting the family friend? You know? Like, how does that work exactly? And then he goes to the corner.
I don't know, is it just taking advantage of the psychological state that a person normally, a lot of what a person does wrong is because of a fantasy of immortality.
Okay, good.
So when you're mourning, your fantasy of immortality is weakened because you're faced with death.
Right.
So that's actually an appropriate time.
Right.
Right. To focus on your mortality, and that should lead you to a tshuva.
Right. Okay, good. Good. So what's the sword thing?
That I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe that's the sword thing, is that you could die any time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I don't know. The metaphor of it, it's over your neck here, and then it's in the corner, and then it's passing by in the street.
Yeah, okay. Okay, that's all right, you know. Let's not be overzealous here. Yeah, no, okay, good. So I think he's saying good, that it's really advantageous to a person to be aware of his death and the fact that he's not going to live forever. And a person who is under the illusion, insofar as we have an illusion of this fantasy of mortality, yeah, we make mistakes and we don't really consider the long run, big picture, what's really important in life. But a person can't always be thinking about death. It's not, I don't know if it's possible, it's not healthy, it's not, you know, ordinary. Depressing, but there are times like when a relative dies or a family friend dies. So you ordinarily think it can never happen to me. Somehow you have in your mind it's not for me. I'm not part of that club. You know, that happens to the other guy. But when your friend or friend or family member dies, so then you realize, wait a second, it could just be me. And it's like you feel your mortality. I think that's what means you feel like a sword at your neck. It means. The sword is always at your neck. You always could die, but somehow you ignore that fact. But you feel very strongly. And as time goes on, it weakens. Goes to the corner, whatever, you could, you know, it becomes further, more moved from your mind.
Usual.
But it's on your mind emotionally. And the Torah is saying is don't run away from those feelings, from those thoughts. But welcome them. Why? Why not just run away from them? They're irrational, they're whatever. No. Because l'hachan asma to the tshuva. This is an opportunity where this is your emotions are forced to realize your mortality. Take it as a chance to be able to do tshuva and to be able to realign your life and to work on yourself and to, you know, wake up from your slumber. You don't have too many opportunities like this. Similar, shofar does that also. I mean, the Torah holds of taking advantage of emotional things which move you emotionally towards doing tshuva. Right? Now, so it could be that this really underlies both of these menachim. Both the idea of the circle of life. The circle doesn't end with everyone else in the world, but it ends with you. You're part of the circle also. So in a deeper level, it could be the circle brings to mind, yes, everybody, but you yourself included. And that brings to mind tshuva. And also the Ein Lo Peh, the idea of being silent, on the plain level is because of Kavanah Meis. But I think on a deeper level is because you should be silent and introspective into your personality, into doing tshuva. So like I think in the underlying kiyum of all of Avelas has at its core is the idea of the mortality and the tshuva, which is brought about through mourning, you know? So with that in mind, it could be we could analyze, go back to the parsha, which we started with, is that Avram died. How did everyone respond? So Yitzchak was mourning. Yaakov was making lentil soup, bringing to mind all these concepts of mourning.
For his father.
To bring to mind those ideas. I'm assuming he was involved in those ideas also. Right? And Esav also realized his death, his mortality. And he says, I better pack in the pleasure right now. He didn't use it and reflect on what's really important. But he says, I'm going to die anyways. Who needs this stuff? So he like turned away from eternity and he turned towards the moment. And when Yaakov was thinking about the ideational lentil soup, Esau was thinking about pour this red stuff down my throat. Totally like an instinctual thing. That's why they called him Edom. It means he became a totally instinctual being. He was doing all these avera, killing and sleeping, raping, and it's like he totally like saw death. Saw Avram Avinu die, and Avram Avinu presumably was a great figure for him. You see, Yitzchak was his father, and this is his father, you know. And he couldn't handle it. And he grabbed hold of the momentary. Instead of seeing in death and causing you to rethink the moment, the value of the momentary, and pursue something which has higher worth. Yaakov did. What did he pursued the Bechorah. And he sold the soup for the Bechorah. But Esav, this defined Esav, and he chose to become a Rasha on that day. This was the beginning of his path of Rishos. And oftentimes, a person is defined by how does he deal under pressure. You know, one person could rise up under pressure, another person could become totally turned towards Esav. Esav was defined by this pressure and intense emotional experience. But that's not an excuse. That's just what brought to head. And he went the wrong way. You know, Yaakov, on the contrary, he used it to grow. He was involved in ideas, furthering his level, getting the Bechorah. You know, further grabbing hold of eternity. Right?
What's the Bechorah? What does that mean?
The rites, the firstborn rites, to be able to work in the Beis Hamikdash, all the different rites, which, yeah, you know, the little children meet from the blessings of the Father. Right, so, I mean, it's important. That's like, Avelus is an emotional time, but it could be emotional, it could be very defining of a person. That's what Sadegram is saying, is he should wake up. Times like that give a person an opportunity to move one way or another way, or no way, you know, but it is a unique opportunity. Yeah. So one other thing I wanted to say, which is a little parenthetical, but Matt, you heard this, about the little man. So basically, the Pasuk says earlier, it says they grew up. It says basically they were born, you know, Yaakov, Esav, whatever. And then the pasuk says, "Vayigdilu anaharim," and the youths grew up. "Vahi Esav ish yodei atzayir yisada," and Esav was a man of the field. "Yaakov ish tamo yishev ahalam," and Yaakov was a plain, simple person who sat and learned, sat in the tents. So the question is, what's saying they grow up, and they grew up and they did it. Weren't they like this before they grew up? What does it mean? It's making a point. They grew up and then they were doing this. So Rashi says, it says, no. As long as they were kids, they weren't noticeable. And no one really paid attention about their nature. They're kids. He's a little more wild. He's a little more reserved. Big deal. They're kids. Once they turned 13 years old, he went to the Beis Medrash and he went to the hunting, to Avodah Zarah. Which means is that there's a popular idea these days of like little kids being tzaddikim, so to speak, you know, or of like everyone wants their little kid to become like the greatest person in the world, you know, and we measure our kids as being how good they are. There's a good kid, a bad kid. But you see what the Torah is saying, Esav and Yaakov weren't good kids or bad kids. They're just kids. And no one paid attention to them. Look, you train them, you try to teach them, but ultimately they have an instinctual nature, and their nature is their nature, and their constitution is their constitution. That's not how you measure a person. A person isn't good or bad because they have one nature or another nature. What makes you good or bad is when you become an adult, a grown-up, a bar mitzvah, your mind develops, and then you choose to pursue X or to pursue Y. When did Esav become a Rasha? After his bar mitzvah. When he was 12 years old, running around like wild man. That was just his wild nature. But he could direct all that energy towards Torah and towards ideas. And Yaakov was sitting and learning when he was 12 years old. It's very nice. He's 12 years old. Wait till he becomes a gadol. And his energies kick in. And now, what's he going to do? Now, how's he going to direct his energies? That's really the measure of a person is when they get older, not when they're kids. Kids are just kids. You know? So I mentioned this, Richard has these parenting tapes where he talks about how a lot of parental mistakes are based upon what he calls the little man theory. People imagine a kid as being just a little man. And they think, like, if a kid, when he's like 7 years old, could smack someone or be rude or selfish, they imagine, oh, he's going to become a serial killer when he grows up. Or something, you know, they get these like, how could he do that? What's wrong with him? Is he got problems? Doesn't, you know? And like they impose standards of morality and of manners and of whatever onto kids, because you just imagine if an adult were to do that action, that would be crazy. But the reason why it's crazy is because an adult has a conscience and has a mind, and if an adult would just go and punch somebody, the guy's got problems. But if a kid goes and punches somebody, it's because he doesn't have a mind which is developed, and he doesn't have the conscience and the social guilt and all the different things which an adult has. He doesn't have the knowledge. So therefore, that's just a kid. A kid's a kid. Right? But parents try to forget that, and sometimes they forget that the kids are kids, and they impose this idea, they treat their kid like a little man, then they end up putting this... you know, the standard which is not really appropriate, and they demand of kids and things which are not really possible.
Remember, one of the examples you gave was a kid saying, "I'm going to kill you."
Right, right.
Exactly. They imagine it as if an adult said that.
right.
Very different thing.
Yeah, right, exactly. You think he's going to become a serial killer, that's right. But like a kid, adult would never say that. They know you don't say that. If you say that, you got something wrong with you. But a kid's like, yeah, kids say things, doesn't mean anything. It just doesn't have any meaning. Yeah, so. And it just shows this idea, is that it says no one even paid attention to them when they were young, when they were ketana. This is Yaakov and Esav. You know, extreme personalities, but no one really cared. You know, nowadays it's a trend to really care about these things in a way which is much more significant than the truth it is. But you have to realize kids are just kids, and the best-natured kid could turn out to be a Rasha, and the worst-natured kid could turn out to be a Tzad. And there's no measure of what type of person he is, because we measure a human being by his bechira, not by his underlying instinctual nature. It just looks like tzidkus. A 12 or 11 year old kid who learns all the time looks like a tzaddik, but he's not a tzaddik, he's just an 11 year old kid whose nature, his instincts are that way. Tzaddik is somebody who conquers his yetzer and sits down and forces himself to learn in the base of medrash because he's realizing that's what makes sense. That's a tzaddik. And a rasha is someone who chooses to deny his mind and to go and kill. Not a kid whose nature is to be wild and do crazy things. It may look like a rasha, but it's not. Yeah, so I just thought it was interesting. Alrighty. Any questions?
What was the... Where did we come out on the egg versus the lentil? I lost that.
We just said that. The question is it appropriate to console a person by telling him, this is how you're supposed to mourn. You're supposed to pay respect to the dead. And you console a person by saying, listen, we're all with you. It's going to go around. That's appropriate to console a person. But to tell a person how to mourn, although in the long run it will ultimately bring him consolation because he'll mourn properly and he'll focus on the death and he'll heal, but you could argue it's not an appropriate message to tell someone because its manifest content is like, in a certain sense, like Mussar.
Wait, so why would the egg...
Because the egg has no mouth. The reason for the egg, it's not round, but it has no mouth. And having no mouth is you're trying to give them a message that you're not supposed to be involved in talking and idle chatter now.
But I thought that's okay, because that's a subtle way to...
Well, that's the one side it says. The other side argues is that since its manifest content is not one of consolation, but is one of like Mussar, so it's not appropriate to do when you go to the guy's house. So therefore you shouldn't use an egg, but you should just use lentils. Lentils are a better idea, because lentils is a manifestly consolation. So he holds that you can only be involved in real consolation, not something which in the long run, deeper level is consolation. You have to just be involved in that, which
so
is
then the no mouth idea becomes irrelevant, it's just that it's a circle.
Yeah, he holds, yeah, exactly. That's the question. What's the idea of lentils? Is it because of no mouth or is it because of a circle?
Oh, I see. Okay.
The difference is whether you could use eggs. If you say it's just because of a circle, then eggs aren't going to work. If you say the no mouth idea is a good idea, then circle, then eggs will also work. That's like a machlokas. It's like an argument, you know? Yeah. Alright.
And what's the reason to give him food, period?
I think that's consolation. It's like he's kind of, I don't know, I haven't been through it exactly, but on a plain level, it's like he's coming back from the death, and like you're taking care of him, you're standing in for him, he doesn't have food, he can't get involved, deal with these things, and you're there for him. It's like his friends or whatever.
I mean, is giving the lentils is sustenance and helping him with, so he doesn't prepare food, the reason, or is it really all about giving him something round?
No. The primary thing is you're giving him food. That's the halacha. But now, once you're giving him food, what kind of food should you give him? So the lentils is a custom that you give a food which points to an idea. But the fact that you give him the food itself is a real halacha. But that could be anything. You give him, you know, peanuts.
I got to lacto this stuff. I got to start carrying lentils. When everybody does these chickens.
That's true. Yeah.